You can understand reality as having seven dimensions, naturally. So the first three are the three dimensions of space, right? No need to elaborate on those dimensions, which create volume, right? And the fourth dimension, time. We all know that. Einstein has given that pretty clear proof. But what Einstein left out were the higher dimensions. The next dimension that has direct effectiveness phenomenal impact is the dimension of ego mind. It is a dimension. The ego mind is not actually in space or in time. It's in a dimension of its own, but a dimension that corresponds to the first four in the same way that a soundtrack corresponds to a movie. All right? If the soundtrack is not working, you will see the character still lip-syncing, but no sound is made, right? The movie doesn't change at all. Everything happens exactly the same, even if there's no soundtrack, all right? The same is true if your ego mind stops functioning and there's no more mental chatter. Life will go on just the same, except you won't have a sense that you are there as the individual who's in the movie any longer. Because the soundtrack of the ego mind creates the sense of me and mine, right? It adds that to the show. It superimposes it on it, but it's not part of it, okay? Then you have the fifth dimension, which is the dimension of divine light. This whole reality is a light show. It's a holographic movie. And so what happens here is based on that fundamental substance of divine light. And that light is what congeals into energy and matter. But those are just frozen divine light forms. And we are made of light. And part of the need of our nutrition is photons, biophotons from the sun, which is why it's healthy to go out in the sun and get some of that. And it helps produce all kinds of hormones and other important chemicals in the body, melatonin and vitamins and all kinds of pranic forces that require literally the photons to have landed in the cells of the body. But our minds require divine light. They are nourished by Shakti. So the biophotons will produce prana, but not Shakti. They're two different levels of energy. And it's only when we are absorbing divine light that our minds, our capacity, our souls even, in fact, are nourished and are able to function at full capacity. Most souls are starving. Most souls are anorexic these days. They get no divine nourishment. They don't open to the light. And so they're in a very exhausted state where people cannot even think coherently any longer or have a powerful will or any of the other aspects of consciousness that actually come from the divine source. So the light is, what are we on? The sixth, right? The sixth dimension now, right? What is the seventh? It is the chit, the chaitanya, the bhuma. These are all different names for the mind of God, that ultimate supreme intelligence that contains and pervades all the other dimensions, but is responsible specifically for the carrier waves of information that configure the field of light by collapsing and decollapsing the quantum and qualium wave functions that the light and its reciprocal awareness are carrying. Light and awareness are like a double helix, the equivalent of our DNA, but it's our spiritual DNA. And the relationship between the awareness and the light will create different patterns of qualium wave function, and they can be collapsed or decollapsed, which will change your mental, psychological, and affective relationship to reality and your capacity for perceiving qualities and subtleties of that reality that is the holographic field. And the field that contains the holographic field, which is the divine field. So those are the seven. But the divine field itself needs to be understood that it has three primary dimensions. And that's why, I don't know if all of you know, why do I do these invocations of Shiva as Parameshvara, and then Parashakti, and Parabrahman, and Allah, and Buddha, right, and Tao. Why? Well, they are all aspects of that divine function at the seventh dimension. And so you are attuning to them through that invocation. The absolute intelligence is Parameshvaraya, or Shiva. Parashakti is the pulse of Spanda, the divine energy that becomes those waves that produce the design of the world and the functioning of the ecosystems of reality. And then you have Allah, or you have Brahman. Brahman is the field those pulses of Spanda then are filled with, like the waves of an ocean. But Brahman is the ocean in which then the quantum field of the universe, as it is understood by physics, arises as an appearance within the field of Brahman. So those three are aspects of the divine nature are important to understand in terms of their function and how you relate to all three of them in specific ways. And then Allah represents the will, the ordainer, that power that will determine the karmic unfoldment of every individual existence and of the play, the theodrama itself. So that's that aspect of the moving finger, that moving pen that writes your destiny, and having writ moves on, right? The famous Islamic aphorism. So, and then we have the Buddha mind, which is the treasure house of archetypal wisdom and virtue and all of the aspects of our divine nature that can be translated into human divinity, nobility, royalty, and wisdom of a sage and of a siddha, etc., right? So all of that is to be activated to the maximum if you are seeking liberation. And then, of course, the Tao is the way that energy is directly transmitted to you and enables you to read reality. If you can read the Tao as it comes, if you can decipher the information that you're being given through the current of Shakti that is always being transmitted to you from the source. That's all the brain is a transceiver of that information of the divine mind. And the soul uses that to translate it into the activity of the organism. So all of these aspects of the divine nature go into then what becomes the content of the phenomenal world that the ego perceives as a result of its mental chatter that obscures all of this and replaces it with a very petty melodrama, basically filled with suffering, right? And all of that blissful information and power is lost because it's filtered out and censored out, so that the soundtrack has a coherence at a superficial level, but not at a depth dimension, right? Make sense? Is that clear? Okay. So why is that important? Well, of course, if you can tune into that, you will, to the highest dimension, you will be able to directly access that as the operating system of the body. And through recognizing that the only thing you need to do to access that is to eliminate the soundtrack, because that is what creates the interference patterns, right? The soundtrack of the ego mind. When that is silenced, then the information comes through very clearly with the capacity to translate it. You know, someone asked me about consciousness. Was it Jake the other day, night, I think? I can go further with the definition of it, which I think in this context is important. It's made of two elements, con, which is with, right? Con in Spanish, right? Same word. Shusness. Now, what is shusness? Well, the SCI of shusness is the same root of the words like scissors and recision and other words that use that. Science, right? Science, it's the same SCI. So, your consciousness comes with the capacity to cut like a scissors, to take things apart, to analyze, to differentiate, to recognize differences and how they relate, and with the ability to put it all back together again, because that's part of the con. You have the ability to take it apart, but because your real nature is unity, you have the ability to put it back together in a higher, more coherent order if you are connected to the Buddha mind and to the divine intelligence. So what you want to do is have consciousness in its pure form of all of its capacities, but without a narrative, so that everything can be accurately understood and translated, but without the interference of the prejudices and projections of an ego that throw in a lot of excess premises and axioms that are never proven but pre-believed, including paranoid tendencies and negativism and various orientations and attitudes to reality that don't allow you to fully grok what's being given to you as messages. All right? So the more that you recognize the value of shutting off the soundtrack, then the more easy it will be to do it, because there has to be a will to do it, and you have to recognize there's a benefit, and make use your consciousness, that ability to differentiate and discern, to recognize it's a cost-benefit analysis. There's a cost in keeping the soundtrack going. What's the cost? Well, it brings all the baggage of suffering with it. All the karma is contained in that soundtrack, and all the limitations on your intelligence and all the drives that they were embedded and installed in the program of getting angry at different things and having other affects that are not under your control. So even just on the basis of wanting power to keep your mind from creating a lot of anguish, you want to be able to have gone beyond the automatic nature of the playing of the soundtrack. And then you can change it if you wish, but you also realize you don't need it, because there's a higher intelligence that doesn't require that mediation. Let's do an experiment. Close your eyes. Let's do a visualization and use your imagination. Imagine that you have been raised in an experimental situation, kind of a Truman Show kind of situation. You have been raised specifically in a way that enabled you to grow up into adulthood without ever acquiring language. You were never taught a language, and you have no words installed in your mind, no signifiers, no thoughts that have any linguistic base has ever entered your mind or could, okay? But you have developed a telepathic capacity to directly understand and orient yourself to reality, but without having to formulate any mental thoughts. Feel what that's like. You literally cannot use language. You don't have it. Now, when you're in that state and you feel that you can sustain that sense of not having language, and even take it one step further, that you don't even understand language, so I'm not going to say anymore, but I want you to open your eyes when you have that state and realize it makes no difference whether the eyes are open or closed, and you see the world without language, without thought intervening between your mind and your sensations. Okay. How many people felt an impact from that experiment? Yeah? Okay. Could you feel more aligned with having the mind in silence and perceiving directly? Yeah? Okay. Good. Because it's a very simple way to realize that you are already in a state of liberation. Let's do one more experiment.